You're the only contact on my phone.
Wow, I'm touched, Don. I'm touched.
From the Spec Network, this is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker.
And I'm Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show. This episode of Fragmented has been brought to you by Rollbar. With Rollbar, you can catch code errors before your users do, because I don't know about you, but the last place I want to find an error is inside of a one-star review on Google Play. That's just pretty much the worst-case scenario, because getting those one-star reviews to go away is really problematic. So the next best thing is actually preventing them from happening. So if we can prevent those errors, even better. Rollbar will help you do that. The cool thing about Rollbar is they work with all your existing major languages and frameworks. And to really tie this together is they work with your Android application, so they're, you know, bug and crash reporting, all that kind of good stuff, and they can also do this on the server as well, and then you can tie that together, so knowing this release X of the Android app and release Y of your Rails API, this perfect storm is happening and you're getting these errors. It's easy to track those things, much easier than it would traditionally be if you didn't have a solution like Rollbar. The cool thing is they also integrate with existing things like Slack, so when I do a deployment or have an issue that comes in, it automatically notifies me inside of a Slack channel, which makes it really easy for me to see what's going on, especially if there's something that's really high priority. I'll know immediately because I'll be getting a bunch of alerts, and it's time to go fix it and check it out. Rollbar is used by a bunch of companies. Kaushik uses them, I use them, but there's also folks like Heroku, Twilio, Kayak, Zendesk, Twitch. The list goes really on and on and on. Now, if you'd like to check out Rollbar, you can go to rollbar.com/fragmented and you'll get the bootstrap plan for free. Again, go ahead and check that out at rollbar.com/fragmented and you'll get that bootstrap plan for free. Thanks for listening and thanks, Rollbar. All right, Kaushik, here we are again, back in the saddle.
Yes, we are back in full swing.
Definitely. There was one thing that came out at Google I.O. I think it might have been last year I saw it for the first time, and they kind of touched on it this year, which was Android Instant Apps. Have you worked with any of those at all, or have you built anything around that?
I have actually never worked with Android Instant Apps. In fact, I've never, like, until recently, I haven't even used it. But that was the thing. Like, so recently, there was one of these apps, you know, this thing that us developers use. It's like this new and upcoming website called Stack Overflow.
Oh, yes. That's a pretty cool one, yeah. I use it a few times.
Yeah, only a few times, because otherwise everything's in our head. We know, like, most of the stuff, right?
Actually, I just copy and paste all my code from there. You don't do that?
Yeah. I mean, that's how you become a senior software engineer, right? You just copy-paste code.
Exactly.
So their app actually uses the instant app feature, and I used it and I was like mind blown, and that's when, like, I hit you up and said, hey, this thing is, like, pretty interesting, we gotta, like, you know, find out someone who's worked on this. So have you used the instant apps, or do you know, like, anyone who we can talk to for this?
I have not used any instant apps, but me and you were able to do a little bit of digging, and we ended up finding another Android GDE here that is well versed in instant apps. And without any further ado, let's go ahead and welcome Zara Dominguez to the show. Welcome to the show, Zara.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. For folks that aren't familiar with you, can you kind of let folks know who you are, where you work, you know, where you are in the world? Because this is actually one of the unique shows that we have where we're recording across various different parts of the world again, and kind of maybe how you got into Android and so forth.
I'm Zara. I'm an Android developer at domain.com.au, and I'm based in Sydney, which is on the total opposite side of the world as where everyone is. We're recording today. Total opposite, meaning it's our middle of winter today, so it's kind of cold.
That is so crazy. This is June, and, like, you know, like, Don and I can't get enough of this heat, and we're, like, you know, trying to, like, see how we can, like, have an air conditioner, and you're probably, like, you know, in a jacket or something there. Yeah.
I am, actually.
The world is a beautiful place.
It is. So come over down here if you want some cold weather over the next month. So yeah, as I mentioned, I work for Domain as an Android developer. I started doing Android around 2009. So when it was like Cupcake or Donut. Yeah. it's come a long way since then. I moved to Sydney about 2 years ago to be an Android dev, and I help run GDG Sydney. And as Don mentioned, I'm also a GDE. So quite busy.
Very cool.
Excellent. So we had wanted to get you on the show because you had some experience and some knowledge around instant apps. And so if we could just, let's just hop right into it. What are Android instant apps?
So in a nutshell, they are small fragments of your app. See what I did there.
I like it.
So yeah, they're small slices of your app that users download on demand. So it's supposed to give users the native app experience, because we all know, like maybe 5 years ago when mobile sites were all the rage, everyone started building M sites, but they're sort of not as good as a full app. So, You know, hence the native versus hybrid approach to building websites. So yeah, instant apps aim to bridge that gap so users can have an actual native experience without downloading your app.
Gotcha. So is it fair to say like these are like mini versions of your app? So I mean, if you have like a typical like, you know, Android app, might be like a good Android app is like maybe 20 to 30 MB, right? So yeah, are these instant apps like maybe like an MB or 2 MB, or is that like variable?
It's variable, but the maximum you can have is a 4 MB version. So usually, yeah, so with all the libraries and, you know, like everything we use in modern Android development, 4 MB is like, it's so small. It's very limiting. Mm-hmm. So usually, whatever you can fit in it, you can fit in it. But yeah, 4 MB is the limit.
But if I put like Gala, Google Play Services, and Fresco, boom, there we go. Right?
You're done. That's it. You have a text view and you're done.
Could you give us a quick example of maybe one type of industry that might find using instant apps like to their benefit, like from a user perspective, and also maybe from a business perspective? When would someone really want to use an instant app? Because it doesn't sound like it's the full app, but it's a little bit of an app. When would we maybe want to use one?
Our app is a good use case. And as Kaushik said, Stack Overflow as well. Because like if you are like for domain, right? If you aren't really that serious about looking for a house right now, so maybe you don't want to go full on and download everything. And I think another good example is like if you are shopping or looking for restaurant reviews. Things where you're really not that committed yet, I guess. Those are really good use cases for a user. For as a developer, it's usually something like, because our apps are huge, like where do you even begin to think about supporting instant apps, right? So it's usually the way we approached it is any activity that you can link to via a URL. So if you are deep linking to an activity or something, that is probably a good candidate.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that actually makes sense. So that is like a quick way. If you open up your app and you're saying, if you have like a deep link into one of those, then that's probably a good candidate. That's a very interesting way to look at it. Quickly stepping back for a minute, can you tell us a little, like just like maybe a quick summary on what your app is, just so users can, because the Stack Overflow example is perfect. Shopping experience makes sense. Can you tell us what your app actually does, domain, so that way like people know, like they can understand the experience?
Oh yeah, of course. Sorry. So domain.com.au is essentially a property portal. So if most users in the States would be familiar with like Trulia or Zillow.
Zillow,
So our app is like that, but for Australia.
Got it. Perfect. Oh, so that actually makes perfect sense. So then like, you know, you don't want to necessarily see the whole thing, but you have like this link for this house that like maybe Don wants to buy, and then he clicks it and boom, just like that, he has like, you know.
I can now have a winter house.
Yeah,
he sends it to you. Exactly. Yeah. He sends it to you and you see it's $4 million and that's it. They're done.
Nice.
You won't be able to afford it.
Chump change.
Exactly. So I want to step in a little into like the actual experience as a user, right? So can you walk us through like how this thing starts off? Because so you said the deep link thing, right? So in that case, mm-hmm. does that mean I can click any URL? Like I can just Google like something like a property, and if it happens to be in like one of the links from your company, if I click it, does it just like magically from, you know, like Chrome open up the app? Like how does it work? Like where do we start? Like, you know, what is, as a user, not even as a developer, we'll get to that shortly, but as a user, what is my kickoff point, right? Like where does it start?
You actually guessed it right. It's sort of like magic. So when someone sends you a link over like Slack or email or whatever, and you click on it on your phone, there is a prompt that will appear at the bottom of your screen that says this URL is supported by Instant Apps and do you want to open it using Instant Apps? And then you can opt in. That is, if you haven't opted in at all. You can also manually opt in via your phone settings. So you go to settings, look for Google, and then look for the Instant Apps entry. And then, you can choose which account you want to enable it for. If you have multiple accounts, like you can only opt in to one account at a time. Last time I tried it. But So you go there, you tick the box or you flip the switch and then, from my experience using it, it works best if you use the same account in Chrome, if you use the same Google account in Chrome.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because, because if you have a different account from Chrome and then it opens up and your actual account is different, that might, that would be interesting to see how that works.
You did mention earlier there's like a 4 megabyte limit on this. How, what's the experience like? Again, like Kaushik was asking for an end user. And some networks, 4 megabytes is actually quite a bit. Can it be really slow or what?
Good point.
It's not that slow from what I can tell. And I've tried it on my like just mobile internet. So once the user taps on a link, there is an Android Instant App specific like splash screen of sorts where you can see the progress bar of it downloading. So I guess it's similar to. I can say it's similar time to how fast a website loads.
It makes me wonder, would it make a lot more sense for folks, and we can get into this later too, but make more sense for folks to really optimize these little mini instant apps to as small as they could get them so they open quicker? I mean, it would make sense to me that way at least.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. And it also forces you to think like what is the most valuable for your users, because it's essentially a taste of your app.
Right. I remember a friend of the show, Israel, when they announced it, me and him, we were actually sitting in IO, and he said he mentioned one point that always stuck to me about Instant App. It's like, you know, as a developer now, you really have to sell the like idea. So when you mention this thing where like, you know, what is the most valuable part of your app? You want to like immediately show that in Instant App. So you sort of like encourage the user to sort of like make sure you download the app, right? Because speaking about the experience, you can like say, okay, I use Stack Overflow. I see the answer. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, I don't want to like download this app, you know, in quotes. If I cancel out, does that mean like the app just goes away? Does it cache it in some way? Is it installed in like some temporary cache? Like how, do you have an idea how that mechanism works?
I believe it is stored temporarily. So as long as the users use that same feature, Google Play services will hold it in the cache for you. However, if the device restarts, I believe it wipes out the cache. And same with apps in general, the way the OS manages it, if it's short on memory, it can kill it can discard your feature. But yeah, as long as the user has enough space and memory and like all that stuff, it will be really, really fast because it's it's almost instant. Yeah. So the first time
wow,
you open
you're
a
like
link,
full of like amazing puns here.
so yeah, the first time you open a link, you see the downloading. But usually, most cases, the subsequent links it just works.
Very cool. And another quick question, because Don asked this, and this prompted another thing in my mind. He said, like, you know, you want to reduce this size as much as possible. So this 4 MB limit, does it download all of the 4 MB, or is there like some funky streaming-like mechanism even within that 4 MB? Or is it just like, no, it just downloads the whole thing in a temporary cache and then it launches? Do you know?
I believe it downloads a feature as needed. So,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So we can talk about it when we talk about like the dev stuff. But,
Got it.
Yeah. In general, when you split your app into specific features, each feature that the user requested will be downloaded as a separate thing.
That makes sense. So can we like maybe transition into like talking about like what the benefits are before like we actually talk into the implementation, right? Because like the implementation is obviously like super interesting for us. But before that, like, you know, we want to like get people like hooked on to like why they would even go through the process of doing this. Because as I understand, it's not very straightforward. It's not like, you know, flip a switch and suddenly instant apps like, you know, happens. There's some work involved. So why would I do this? Like you know, what are the benefits in the first place?
For users, it's definitely a different experience. Because, you know, all this material design, animations, and all your funky, like everything you can do with a native app, you can essentially give to users who don't have your app yet.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can sort of trick them. Well, not trick maybe, but encourage them to install your app, because you can pick which features you want to put behind an install prompt. So for us, it's when you can favorite the property and it goes into your shortlist. So, but for instant apps, we want people to, we hide it behind an install the app to shortlist this property prompt.
So if we call these like mini app bits, like an instant app feature or something, right? You can transition from that to saying, okay, time to download the app.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good exercise in figuring out the balance of what do you want to give users right now versus what other benefits would they get if they download this humongous like 40 MB app.
Wait till BuzzFeed gets a hold of this. You won't believe what you see.
Oh, nice. I see what you did there. Okay, so that's like a very clear benefit. I get that. Like, you know, you can get, I mean, I think most of us understand that, like, you know, some of the best experience comes from native. So you can give like a native like experience without having to like, you know, build like a complete backend or like a mobile website.
So let's take this a little bit step further here. When we want to start as developers, we want to start, you know, integrating instant apps. I think it's best to understand how does this kind of work end to end. And you'd said something early on, it's a 4 MB app. So does that mean that I have to take my application that's quite bloated at this point, to be honest, and I have to actually kind of trim that down to just 4 MB? Am I restricted to 4, or how does this happen? Is there something that's kind of pulled down off the side of the app, or what does that look like? I don't even have any clue.
So it's actually pretty daunting if you think about it, right? Because I guess Google has lately been pushing for modularizing our code, but yeah, it's one of those things where it's like super easy to say, but really, really hard to do. Our app started out as this one, like, big module. I guess most apps are at, like, in this point, I would think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's one big module. And as I mentioned, a good starting off is if you have deep links on activity. So start by looking at that activity and try to figure out how to pull it out into its own module. I guess that's really the first step, is figuring out if it's even possible or how hard is it for you as a developer to move it into its own module. Because, yeah, everything in that module would have to fit into 4 MB, like the generated APK. I mean, should be 4 MB.
So do I have multiple APKs then?
If you have multiple features, you can have multiple APKs. So when you generate your, when you compile your instant app, Android Studio would generate this one APK, and if you look inside it, there would be multiple depending on how many features you have. So currently for us, we're still at one APK. So this generated file is only one bit.
Does that mean that I have an APK for my full app that's 25 megabytes, and then I have another APK that's 3.5 megabytes for this feature, or am I thinking about this wrong?
Yes, you got that right. So when you have to build, well, the release cycles can be different for the two.
Oh,
but it's a different files. If you look at your Play console, they're actually different tracks.
Oh, so they're almost like, for all practical purposes, you can think of them as like, you know, independent mini apps.
Oh, so you even upload different APKs. So I go to whatever my package, you know, my developer console for my app, and then I upload different APKs, one for the full app. And then I guess, is there an instant app section that I upload the mini ones? Okay.
And yeah, there is.
So for each, let me go ahead, dive a little deeper here. So I have this, you have one feature that you guys have an instant app thing for. What if I have five features that I want all to be instant apps? Am I going to have five different APKs that are all little mini instant apps?
They're going to be wrapped in one APK, because like an APK is like, it's just a zip file, right?
Yep.
So when you compile your instant app module, it will generate an APK. And if you look into it, there will be multiple APKs inside it. But you upload the zipped APK into Google Play.
So does that zipped APK, is that the one that has to be 4 megabytes, or does each individual child APK have to be 4 megabytes?
The latter. So each individual one should be 4 megabytes. So if you look at it from an architecture point of view, so you have five different features, right?
Yeah.
At some point, maybe there's common code between all of them your networking calls or your image loading stuff or
your basic
whatever.
Models too, right?
Yeah.
Like for example, if you had like model code, like for example, in your app, if you had like, you know, I don't know, property or house or something, right?
Yeah.
Like model code that you know is going to be used across multiple features. Is that like similar to what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anything that's common between, if you have two, like anything that's common between the two of them, it can be in its own module, which we call the base feature or base feature. Yeah. So, when the users request for like a property detail screen, what Google Play Services will do is it will download that base feature and the specific feature that's linked to this URL. So the combination of those two, that's the 4 MB limit. So what happens next is if the user requests some other feature that we haven't developed yet, but let's say it's going to be in another instant app. Since my phone already has the base feature in it, Google Play Services will only download the next bit for this new feature that I requested.
Oh, that is pretty cool, actually. It's pretty slick if you think about it. It's almost like, you know, request parts of the app only. And
yeah.
It's like lazy loading of your app.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I guess once, if you have a base feature, once that's downloaded, the subsequent download of the next features would be like, it would probably not be 4 MB because there's common code shared already.
So I like to think of this in like, you know, similar terms of something that I've already done, right? So if you think about it, correct me if like, you know, this analogy is wrong, but is it similar to like, because currently in my existing app, I could break it into actual modules, right? Like, you know, like library modules. I remember in the early days, like this was a very common thing. In fact, I remember talking to like Xavi once, like, because in those days I was like, oh, I want to run my unit tests. And like, you know, it's like, I don't want to run it on like, the emulator. So he was like, oh, just create an independent Java module and then you can just run your JUnit tests on that. So, you know, from those early days, I've like been in the habit of trying to like move things into like independent modules. So I think of those as like sort of like, you know, almost like libraries that your main app calls into, right? Like Android libraries that we have. Is that similar to this in some ways? Or is there like, obviously it's not exactly the same, but is that like an equivalent way of thinking?
Yeah, that's actually a good starting off point. So want to start with instant apps so you can pull something into its own library. Mm-hmm. Like you don't even have to think about making an instant app at that point, right? Like just focus on making a feature an Android library. And then eventually it would be really easy to create an instant app module and then just reference that library and you have an instant app already. Well, as long as it's under 4 MB. So
one of the big things that's had me really baffled at this is with this new permission model that we have inside of Android, we're, you know, you ask folks, hey, can we use the internet? Can we look at your contacts? Can we grab all your photos and upload them and steal them? but I mean, anyway, so regarding permissions, the big one's going to be the internet permission. And if, you know, or it's going to be the photo permission or something like that, because I want to try this photo editing app. How does the runtime permission stuff work with Instant Apps, or does it at all?
So the first requirement is you should support runtime permissions. It's been announced two iOS ago. Okay. So it's been announced two iOS ago. So I guess everyone should be supporting it by now anyway. So if you don't have runtime permissions yet, then that's the first thing you should do is support runtime permissions.
Okay.
Got it. Yeah. Sorry, so quick question. I know runtime permissions came a little later, right? It was maybe, what was it, Lollipop or like Marshmallow?
I think it's M. Yeah, Marshmallow.
Yeah, it was M, right? But how, and sorry, we should have asked this question before. How far back does Instant App goes? Because I know it's not just Nougat, right? Like you can use it even for like older versions of Android, right?
Last I checked, they supported Android 6.0 and up. Yeah, but they said they are rolling out to 5 soon. So they're making it backwards compatible as well.
That's cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So which is pretty cool for users because it's a good lead in to your instant app experience, even on older devices, because, and I really wasn't aware of this before, but like maybe like a month before IO. So I was trying out something on my phone and I don't have the app installed. I was on our M site. So, and like, I was searching for something. And then I clicked on a link to a property and it actually opened the Instant App.
That's pretty cool.
So instead
pleasant
of,
surprise.
we have the M site, but, since I opted into Instant Apps, I got chucked into the Instant App experience, which was pretty interesting.
I'm actually curious then, like with the permissions thing, like, you know, once they start rolling it out, because my initial thought was like, oh, like some of these things, like permissions, like don't work all the way, right? Like like previous ones. So, and a quick follow-up question, what if some of my mini feature modules, like, you know, if I have like feature module 1, feature module 2, each one had a different permission, like that also like obviously plays well into it, right? Because like if you support the runtime permissions, then you would ask that only when you need to use that feature or something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that would be a good citizen too.
Yeah, we actually did that. But when we started doing runtime permissions maybe a year ago, a year and a half ago, it kind of got hard to manage because we have a ton of permissions depending on where you are in the app. So it's actually a good candidate to move all your permission handling into its own module. And then you can just reference that library in your instant app as well. So the way you code it is not that much different from how you code an actual app.
Got it. So maybe let's like walk into that, right? Like, because I know one of the big things that they talk about in all of these instant app talks is modularization, which is basically, I think, maybe you should tell us like what exactly, because this is like a term that, you know, Google uses and there are like features even in Android Studio that allow you to do this. So what exactly is this modularization thing?
So I think you put it a good way earlier, Kaushik, like it's like in our old Java days, like you split it into its own thing. So in Android Studio, you see it as essentially different folders or containers, and you apply the Android library plugin to it. Is that right? Android library, yeah. So you apply the Android library plugin into that feature essentially. So yeah, as I mentioned, it helps to like make a map maybe of all the features that your app has and like what are the different, like try to separate them into like different discrete steps. Mm-hmm. Or different screens. I think screens is an easier way to think about it. So each screen in your app can be a different module in Android Studio. And then when it's time to build your APK, Android Studio will like aggregate all those modules into each other into one huge APK.
So, and of course, by screens, you mean activities, right? Because I mean, that's...
Yeah. So an instant app can have more than one activity inside it, an instant app feature, I mean, can have more than one activity inside it. So you're definitely not limited to having just this one activity, for example. So you can open other activities, but
well, that's good to know.
So you had mentioned earlier that you had something about, you have like a maybe you have it right now, or you just mentioned it was a base module where you have maybe some of your models that you use across your different features. Mm-hmm. How do you model your app to support instant apps?
So we started out with property details and in prod, that's still what we have currently. So we started by splitting out like, all right, so there's this activity that displays all of this information about this property.
Uh-huh.
And we want to make it into an instant app. So look at what activities or fragments or views, like custom views, like what have you, like what do you use for that activity? And you just start like refactoring it into its own module, like move into this other module essentially in Android Studio. So with the property detail stuff that we support, we really don't have a base feature because there's no one to share anything else with.
Uh-huh.
It's just by itself. So our Android Instant App is like, it's just one APK and one, it's one APK, but it's actually not one module. One module in Studio, if you think about it. Yeah, because, we have this, so we essentially packaged everything that's about property details into one Android library, and it pulls in other libraries such as like our permissions manager, you know, our, we have our tracking stuff, like everything that's analytics in another library, and that that feature library pulls it into. So that's what I mean by like coding wise, it's not really that different from coding an actual Android app.
So I have a quick follow-up question, right? I'm sure like your app also uses like certain libraries, like, you know, Picasso, Glide, like, you know, whatever. So I imagine you're going to use that in more than one module, right? So do you put that also in your base feature module, or like what has your experience been in using some of these shared libraries?
So Glide, we do use Glide and we use a ton of libraries. We have
what? Who would have thought an Android developer using third-party libraries?
I know, like we're too lazy to build our own.
I'm perfectly fine with that, by the way.
I'm all for it.
Like, I would rather you build a library, and I'll just like, even if I didn't
exactly,
have the library, I'll just delete the code and use a library.
Exactly. So yeah, all our instant app definitely has the like a lot of Google libraries in it. Like we have Maps. As I mentioned, we have Glide, we have Google Analytics, we have we don't have app indexing, I don't think it supports it. But yeah, we have a ton of libraries, and yeah, currently we reference it in our feature, but we're moving it into a base feature as we speak.
Okay. Oh, so I imagine because you have just like one instant app, module now, you haven't run across that, but the minute you have more than one, you're probably going to want to move it to your base feature module.
Yeah.
Right?
So we're currently working on like trying to figure out like if in the future we want to support more instant app splits, like what should we do? So, we're being proactive and hoping our product manager will let us do it. it helps to be forward thinking sometimes.
One big question I have here is, have you run into the situation where you want to use a library, but it pushes you over that 4 megabyte limit If you have, what have you done in that situation? Maybe if you decided, hey, we're not going to use this image library, we're not going to use this whatever tool, and we're going to have to kind of go down to low-level XML parsing or something like that. Have you ever had that situation or anything?
Actually, yes. Yes, we had, because in our app, we show this gallery of images of the property, and usually they're like super high res, and our implementation of that gallery has been, it's been untouched for like 3 years now. So it's like really old code. And it uses this image sampling library, and it was an AAR. That's how long ago it was. So yeah. So we took this opportunity as well. I was like, all right, this is a really old deprecated version of this library. Maybe we should update to a more modern one, because bitmap parsing has been like, there have been a lot of improvements over the years since then. So I started trying out this library that like does everything for you. Like you just load it, like just give it a bitmap, and like all the zooming, all the panning, like everything we want.
Oh,
like it does that already. But yeah, it turns out it's too big. So yeah, so in that case, like we tried to step back and like, okay, what's the smallest feature that this library supports that we can use? So it, like that third party library depends on another third party library to do this one bit of task, and we ended up using that smaller version. But yeah, it was a really good exercise in pro guarding.
I
learned a lot about ProGuard maybe over the 2 months that we did instant apps than like my 4 years.
Because otherwise it's always just like, okay, library, copy from here. These are the rules you need for this library. Yeah. Paste into ProGuard. Yeah.
So really hate to keep beating the 4 megabyte drum here, but I know that's what's going to be one making a lot of developers think like, wow, how am I going to get this in under 4 megabytes? So really, what I'm wondering now, is there a quick way for me to figure out, hey, is this module going to be under 4 megabytes? Are there any tools for that? Or what do you use to check?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Instant Apps is really small. So it doesn't hurt to actually do a release build, because it's not...
Oh, interesting. I never thought about that. Yeah, yeah. Because it's not like you're releasing a whole app. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So when I was trying it out, and remember that we were early access, so like tooling was not that great before. So we did everything command line. So I just built a release APK for the Instant app and dropped it into Studio. And from there, you can use like APK analyzer to figure out how big your current APK is.
Right, right. Yeah. To Don's point, like I'm surprised like the APK analyzer wouldn't just give you that already, right? Like that thing is like so powerful now that, yeah, you would think it would just give you this.
Yeah. I haven't tried it in Studio 3.0 though. So maybe it works better there. But yeah, build time, even release builds with ProGuard on usually takes like a minute. So it was kind of funny because I was working on instant apps for a long time. And then when I got back to the full app, I was like, oh my God, it's taking forever. It's like 3 minutes in.
yeah, for sure. I remember reading this, I think it was a blog post by the folks at Vimeo who also did like the instant app thing. And the reason I bring it up is because like another strategy, like, you know, if you're hitting the 4 MB limit, and I remember they talked about this. We'll make sure to add a link to the in the show notes to this blog post. They said they use actually different versions of, like, you know, they had a common interface for the image loading. And when folks load their like actual universal app, then they load Fresco or something, you know, with all like the bells and whistles. But they use like, you know, Picasso, or when if it was just like an like it was a mini module, then they use just that. So that's also like a strategy I think you can use, right? Like you can swap out like implementations depending on how depending on the what app is requested. Are they asking for an instant app, or are they asking for, like, you know, the whole blown thing?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's a good point. Like if you're pulling in something that maybe you can get away with not using, then that's also great.
All right. So one thing that we are talking about, like, oh, you have like this instant app, you have like these multiple mini modules. So a question that obviously would pop up then is like, you know, in terms of like security and like, you know, like sandboxed environments, how do you make sure like, you know, all of this is protected? Do you have like anything like along those lines? Like, what are some things that we should watch out for in that aspect?
Yeah, it actually bit us a couple of times while we were testing because Google says it's a sandboxed, like a special environment, especially for instant apps. So they have a lot of limitations actually on what can happen when you are running an instant app. So they have a list on the instant apps page about what intents and permissions and processes they support. But yeah, there are a bunch that they don't, like push notifications don't work. And even with permissions, right?
Interesting. Okay.
Even with permissions, there are some things that will not work. Like, I know for sure that get accounts do not work, the get accounts permission. Yeah. So, we had that in our instant app. And so it's sort of like what Vimeo said. We had a bunch of autocomplete stuff that would require permissions, which sort of doesn't work for instant apps. So you just don't get autocomplete for your instant app. But if you have the full app, like it's the feature is still there. So yeah, like email autocomplete stuff because we use get account still.
So typically when folks talk about a sandbox, right, it's basically like this mini playground where you're only allowed to do certain things, right? So that's the idea of a sandbox. Yeah. So this is like in all its glory, a sandbox in that you can't. So you mentioned push notification. Features are like severely limited in terms of what you can do inside the instant app. And I think that it does make sense because you don't want to like, you know, go whole hog on like allowing people to do like anything, right? Like maybe like I can think of like, you know, if you want to be a little mischievous, like you can like maybe have like an instant app and like, you know, just like get the credentials or something. Or like I can think of a lot of like really spammy, not so safe apps you can build as an instant app, right?
Yeah. And you're also not allowed to persist anything that outlives your instant app. So a good example would be like if you are an app that changes the wallpaper, you can't do that because your instant app might be dead, but the wallpaper will still be there.
Interesting.
So you can't can you write to the SD card or no?
You can have your internal storage, like the usual get storage that's specific to your app.
Uh-huh. Oh, so it's like behind your package as well, right? So
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so if I want to write an app for Don, which will like take all his contacts and then save it and it'll secretly send me like in the background through a server, that won't work?
I don't think so. You're the only contact on my phone.
Wow, I'm touched. I'm touched.
Maybe a little creeped out too, right?
A little creeped out.
Touched and then creeped out. In that order.
Zara's like this, like a pun master here. Like, yeah, I know. Like, look at that. She's like picking all these words and like adding a lot of more meaning to this.
So. No doubt.
Also, a good thing to remember is that you're not allowed to get like all the information that most apps can. Like if you get the phone IMEI for some reason, you're not allowed to do that.
Good to know.
So you'd have to update your app, Kaushik.
Damn it.
Sorry.
My time is filed. Idea gone. Idea killed.
Well, I guess if you use it for a device identifier or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't use any device or SIM specific information if you are an instant app. So maybe I'm saying all these things about if you are an instant app, but it might be weird, like for people who haven't worked with it, there is actually an API in the instant apps SDK that tells you it's literally that is instant app. So it will tell you if you are running in the context of an instant app or not.
Oh, that is so interesting. So, okay. That actually is pretty powerful because then if you are like on a legit fully installed app and you want to maybe do some of these other things, then you can do that safely without like, you know, doing it on an instant app and crashing or something because Google doesn't allow you to do it. Oh, fascinating. Yeah, that's good to know.
So, you know, sounds like you've had quite a bit of experience and run into some of the walls in regards to instant apps. Do you have any particular gotchas that folks should look out for when they're starting to go down the route of developing instant apps? Like, should they look out for this? Or they, you know, we already talked about the size, but is there anything you've ran into personally that you now will know next time to look out for immediately when building your next instant app?
Yeah, actually, we did a bunch of, we tried to pick out the low-hanging fruit first because when we started doing our instant app, it was way over 4 MB. So because, you know, like when you're refactoring your code, you just move stuff without any regard for whatever limit, right? So the first thing we did was we converted all our, like, the static images that we have to WebP, which is way smaller than, they used to be PNGs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, there are a bunch of tools online that can help you do that. So it's just an exercise on figuring out, like, what compression size, figuring out what works best for your app and your use case. And as I mentioned, like, when you're moving stuff, usually you move. This is really funny because it was maybe like a few weeks before I/O, and we were like, well, we need to push the prod to make it to I/O. But we're about like 200 kilobytes over 4 MB. So I was like, what else can we remove or whatever? And then I started looking at the APK analyzer, and I noticed that we have a lot of strings. I was like, most of the strings are actually unused because we just copied over our strings.xml file from our main app. And so I was like, okay, I'll dedicate like an hour cleaning up all the XML resources that's in our library that's not actually used by the instant app. Yeah. And like just the strings.xml itself, we saved 700 KBs cleaning it up.
Wow, that is crazy.
Wow, so that's
like
a lot.
Every KB matters. Like,
yeah. So it's something like, I think as developers, it's something that we usually don't think about. Well, from my experience, speaking for myself, I would say, because like if you are making a new activity and you define strings all the time, like mm-hmm. you don't usually look through your whole file to see if it already exists, or, you know, like I think most people just tend to chuck in strings, new strings, instead of updating old ones if the copy changes. So
Android Studio makes it so easy too, right? So you can just type the string, and then, like, you know, when the lint warning comes up, you say Alt Enter, boom, create string resource.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and you wouldn't know if it's already there, and you just didn't see it. But yeah, Studio does it for you, so why not?
Interesting. So one quick question: how does both, you know, Don and I are big fans of dependency injection. We're Dagger fans all the way. There we go. So I'm trying to think, does dependency injection help with instant apps? Like, or is it like, you know, is it like overkill? I'm hoping it's not, and I presume it's not, but like, you know, what has your experience been? Because I do know you do a lot of like dependency injection in your apps as well, right?
Yeah, we do. It sort of worked out of the box, really. I think you just have to be careful about the scopes you are in. I think one of the things that we spent a bit of time on is that, so we have this network call that's being done by the instant app, and at some point the full app would need to do that network call again. And so our networking module from the DI was getting, you know, like it's getting mixed up with what context it's running in. So I think that's one of the things you have to look out for. But yeah, sure, like DI all the way.
The next question I had, because like I'm trying to think of the regular things that we usually do, right? So testing is another thing, right? Like does testing work out, like, you know, or like is that something that you don't have, like with instant apps, if I have like a part that needs to be tested, right, like I have an instrumentation test, how does all that work, like, you know, and how do I even test the instant apps feature, right? Like I can't push it to production and say, okay, let's try this, oh, doesn't work, go back like clearly that's like not a way, right? So how do I test the feature instant apps itself? And I'm also curious to know, like, you know, as a developer, how testing works inside
testing is basically the same, like dev-wise, how you do it, like how you test your code, like it's the same because...
Okay, so Espresso, all that unit testing, all that good stuff, same, like no difference. Because it's like you said, it's an app, I guess, right?
Like,
so,
in the end, it's essentially the same code. But I think a good gotcha is when you are actually testing the user experience on your phone. Mm-hmm. So before Android Studio 3.0, which is still in preview currently, so as I mentioned, everything would have to be command line, and it was a different world before I/O because there was no emulator support, and you know, like you can't test it on your phone, like they haven't rolled out Play services or whatever, so it was kind of very involved when running it. So
I'm kidding.
We were like, because everything would have to be command line, like you do your ADB install from the command line, you do your like deep links from the command line. So it was very annoying to say the least. So we tried to be clever and we were like, oh, we'll just like make a small Android app that just pulls in the instant app library.
And
we should test it. Yeah. Because then you can just run it from Studio. Turns out it wasn't a good idea.
Oh, wait, why not? I thought that was a brilliant idea. I was like, oh, this would be perfect.
We were too. It was like, we're so smart. We got this. So it wasn't a good idea because it's not sandboxed. So you are running in a different environment because you are generating an APK. Yeah. So like I was testing out our... when you send an email to an agent, a real estate agent, we put in your email address so they can contact you back. We have this very nifty email account autocomplete library that we are using and that uses get accounts, as I mentioned earlier. And so we were testing using this mock APK and we're like, oh, it works really well. Like everything's good. Like let's ship it. And then I was like, okay, one final test of doing the actual convoluted testing and it didn't work. Like it was crashing. So, So I think the lesson here is it's important to know what context you are running in and what context you are testing in. But yeah, now I tried it with Android Studio 3.0. It's easy. So from Studio, you just select your instant app module from the dropdown at the top, and then you click run, and it's another run configuration. Android Studio does everything for you. So it's way easier. I wished we had this before.
Yeah, well, the Android Studio tools team always come to the rescue. So
exactly.
So we've been talking, like, you know, all about, like, all the great stuff, instant apps. Like, you know, all this sounds great. Modularization, great chance for me to go and tell my PM I have to refactor the app. but what are, like, some limitations? Like, what are, like, things that are restricted? Like, and you've already, like, gone through some of these already, right? Like, for example, you know, there are certain permissions that, like, you can't do all this stuff. You mentioned something about the network traffic as well, right, in terms of limitation. That seems like a big one. Can you tell us that?
So all network traffic, if you are an instant app, must be secure. So it must be encrypted via something like HTTPS.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's, I think a tricky thing here is if you are using a library that hits the network, then that library would have to be HTTPS as well. So it's not just your app, like all network calls must be that. And I'm surprised, actually, it's not highlighted very well in the instant app docs.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
Yeah. It's hidden in the, like, literally the last line in the last page of the instant app's website.
Yeah.
So that was one of the tricky things.
Yeah. Thankfully, I think OKHTTP, I'm pretty sure supports HTTPS. So should. Yeah. I think
just
almost the de facto library, right? So.
Yeah, just make sure you do that. We ran into that problem because we are loading a static map on our app, and it.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that. So like, literally everything has to be through.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a good point.
We actually forgot about it. So we were testing. It was like, why is the map not showing up? And like, I don't know what's going on. It's just a grid. So it turns out it can't download the static map image because we were not using HTTPS.
Got it. So I was thinking of being smart and like, oh, all my images, like I don't have to store anything in my instant app, so I can save up on all that space. I'll just like load it through the network or something, right? But yeah, it all has to be through HTTPS. Which I think is like good practice too, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the only, and like those are like the backend people's jobs. So like, you know, I'm pretty sure like they can take care of it, unless like you're Don, in which case you have to do that as well. So
yeah. And if you work with backend people, you have a bit more work for them as well, because one requirement of instant app is that app links should work. App links, if someone's not familiar, is it's sort of automatic deep linking. So it's essentially mapping your website to your app. And to support it, there has to be a file. There is a JSON file you can generate from Android Studio. And you need to upload it on your website. So you would need backend people. Or Don. You would need Don for that.
Yeah. Call Don. Ask him to come and do your backend stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my Slack notifications on snooze for the next few weeks. Zara, this has been an amazing chat here. And I think this is one of the ones that when I have to implement instant apps in one of my own apps or one of my clients' apps, I'll be coming back and re-listening to this again. But I think one of the greatest things that we can offer folks out there who do listen to the show are some additional resources that maybe you've used or things you could recommend folks to utilize when getting started with instant apps or anything like that. Is there anything you can recommend for folks to take a look at?
The Google website should be your first stop.
Like google.com search?
that works too. Or Stack Overflow, they have instant apps. So there you go. You are using an instant app to search for instant apps.
Oh, wow. Even better. I'm learning it.
Yeah. But yeah, so g.co/instant apps should have all the information to get you started, like what the setup is, and like they have some FAQs there as well. They have recently released the instant app samples, so they show you different ways on how you can split something into modules, which can give you a good idea if you want to figure out what might work best for your app as well. They're on GitHub. The instant app sessions at I/O are really good. I recommend the fireside chat with people who actually did instant apps with Google. They give good tips on like their experience and what their learnings were.
And I think, you wrote a blog post as well, right? I remember reading one of your blog posts. So, you should like tell folks as well, because like you have firsthand experience with this.
Yeah, so I wrote a post on our tech blog about our experience making the main instant app. And I think I mentioned some of the tips that we and like our learnings on that post as well.
Excellent. Fantastic. Yeah, and we'll make sure to add like links to like all of these resources that you just mentioned in our show notes. So if folks want to like just have it at the convenience of a click, it'll be in the show notes. Fantastic. Zara, this is like Don was saying, this is a lot of fun. And I'm pretty sure like, you know, Don and I could keep chatting with you for like way longer, but like we do know you're on the other side of the globe, and like we want to make sure we don't keep you for another 2 hours here. if folks want to reach out to you after listening to this episode, what's like a good way they can like ask you some instant questions?
I do.
Mine was not as good as yours, but like, you know, I tried.
good job. I'm usually on Twitter, so they can find me at Zara Jutes. I'm gonna spell it out the Australian way. I hope people understand. Okay, so it's at Zara Jutes, at ZARAHJUTZ. I'm gonna do it the American way. It's okay. ZARAHJUTZ. All right. Okay. And my website is zdominguez.com.
Perfect. And we'll make sure we'll add links to both of those as well. Don, I need some back-end work stuff for my instant apps, man. How am I going to contact you?
The best way to get a hold of me is on Twitter, and that's at Kaushik Gopal. What's the best way for folks to instantaneously get a hold of you, Kaushik?
I'm prolific on Twitter. You can just see the number of followers I have, and that's Don Felker. So D-O-N-N-F-E-L-K-E-R. Folks should totally reach out to me, you know, send all your questions. Like, you know, who needs Stack Overflow? You have Don Felker at Twitter. So
Don will search on Stack Overflow for you.
we're just kidding. We'd be more than happy to like field all the questions that listeners have. Fragmented Cast is also our Twitter handle. So if you have further follow-up questions, feel free to shoot it that way. This was a blast, Sarah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and like, you know, explaining the Instant App features to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. This episode of Fragmented has been brought to you by Rollbar. Rollbar is used by a bunch of companies. Kaushik uses them, I use them, but there's also folks like Heroku, Twilio, Kayak, Zendesk, Twitch. The list goes really on and on and on. If you'd like to check out Rollbar, you can go to rollbar.com/fragmented and you'll get the bootstrap plan for free. Again, go ahead and check that out at rollbar.com/fragmented and you'll get that bootstrap plan for free. Thanks for listening and thanks, Rollbar.
That's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit and produce all the episodes here on Fragmented. Sarah the Amazing Jackson from the Spec Network helps with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme and ad music is by the national recording artist Blueprint from Weightless Recordings. You can find more Fragmented episodes at fragmentedpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.